The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 31, Text Number 10, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 5th, 2007, in Heidelberg, Germany.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 31, Text Number 10.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Kim janma bistra birveha.
Janma bistra birveha.
Shakra savritta jagyikai. Karma birvatrai proktai.
Karma birvatrai proktai.
Pungso pivi buddhayusha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridhandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. A civilized human being has three kinds of births. The first birth is by a pure father and mother, and this birth is called birth by semen. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by the spiritual master, and this birth is called Savitra. The third birth, called Yajnika, takes place when one is given the opportunity to worship Lord Vishnu. Despite the opportunities for attaining such births, even if one gets the lifespan of a demigod, if one does not actually engage in the service of the Lord, everything is useless. Similarly, one's activities may be mundane or spiritual, but they are useless if they are not meant for satisfying the Lord. Purport. The word shaukra janma means taking birth by seminal discharge. Animals can take their birth in this way too. However, a human being can be reformed from the Shaukra Janma, as recommended in Vedic civilization. Before the birth takes place, or before father and mother unite, there is a ceremony called Garbhadana Sanskara, which must be adopted. This Garbhadana Sanskara is especially recommended for higher castes, especially the Brahmin caste. It is said in the Shastras that if the Garbhadhana Sanskara is not practiced among the higher castes, the entire family becomes Shudra. It is also stated that in this age of Kali, everyone is Shudra due to the absence of the Garbhadhana Sanskara. This is the Vedic system. According to the Pancharatrika system, however, even though everyone is a Shudra due to the absence of the Garbhadhana Sanskara, if a person has but a little tendency to become Krishna conscious, he should be given the chance to elevate himself to the transcendental platform of devotional service. Our Krishna consciousness movement adopts this Pancharatrika Vidhi as advised by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who says, Yata kancha natang yati kangshang rasa vidanatoho tata diksha vidanena dvijatvang jayate inam. As bell metal, when mixed with mercury, is transformed to gold, a person, even though not golden pure, can be transformed into a Brahmin or Dvija simply by the initiation process. Hari Bhakti Vilas 2:12. Thus, if one is initiated by a proper person, he can be accepted as twice born immediately. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore offer the student his first initiation and allow him to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly and following the regulated principles, one becomes qualified to be initiated as a Brahman. Because unless one is qualified, a qualified Brahmana, he cannot be allowed to worship Lord Vishnu. This is called Yajnika Janma. In our Krishna Consciousness Society, unless one is twice initiated, first by chanting Hare Krishna and second by Gayatri Mantra, he is not allowed to enter the kitchen or deity room to execute duties. However, when one is elevated to the platform in which he can worship the deity, his previous birth does not matter. Chandalopi dvija sreshto hari bhakti parayanaha hari bhakti vihi nascha dvijopi svapachadamaha. Even if one is born in the family of a chandala, if one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, he becomes the best of Brahmins. But even a Brahmin who is devoid of devotional service is on the level of the lowest dog eater. If a person is advanced in devotional service, it does not matter whether he was born in a chandala family, he becomes purified. As Sri Prahlad Maharaj said, Vipra dvishad guna yutad aravinda nabha padaravinda vimuk chach chava pachang varishtam. Bhagavatam 7:9-10. Even if one is a Brahmin and is qualified with all the runical qualifications, he is considered degraded if he is averse to worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if a person is attached to the service of the Lord, he becomes glorified even if he is born in a chandala family. Indeed, such a chandala can deliver not only himself but all his family predecessors. Without devotional service, even a proud Brahmin cannot deliver himself. And what to speak of his family? In many instances in the Shastras it is seen that even a Brahman has become a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Mlecha, or non-Brahman. And there are many instances of one's being born a Kshatriya or Vaishya, even lower, and in the 18th year, attaining elevation to the minical platform by the process of initiation. Therefore, Narad Muni says, Yasya yal lakshanam proktam, pungso vanabhivyagakam yad anyatrappi drishyeta tat tenaiva vinirdishet. Bhagavatam 7:11-35. It is not a fact that because one is born in a Brahmin family, he is automatically a Brahmin. He has a better chance to become a Brahmin, but unless he meets all the minical qualifications, he cannot be accepted as such. On the other hand, if the brahminical qualifications are found in the person of a Shudra, he should immediately be accepted as a Brahmin. To substantiate this, there are many quotations from Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Bharadvaj Sanghita, and the Pancharatra, as well as many other scriptures. As far as the duration of life of the demigods, concerning Lord Brahma, it is said, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidu Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Ratra Vido Janan. Bhagavad Gita 8:17. The duration of one day of Brahma is 1,000 times greater than the four yugas, aggregating 4,320,000 years. Similarly, Brahma's one night Brahma lives for 100 years of such days and nights. The word vibhujayusha indicates that even if one gets a long lifespan, his lifespan is useless if he is not a devotee. A living entity is the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. And unless he comes to the platform of devotional service, his lifespan, good birth, glorious activities, and everything else are all null and void.
Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam.
So, once again, we are very much blessed by the transcendental instructions of that liberated spaceman, Sri Narad Muni. He is very kindly giving us the information we need, how to get out of our suffering condition in this material existence. He's detailing the three different kinds of births, and it's interesting to note here how precisely Srila Prabhupada is following Narada Muni. First initiation, second initiation. This is not a concoction, you see. This is strictly following the footprints of Sri Narada Muni. So, the three kinds of births are mentioned. The first one by Samana, by the father and mother, let's see, even the dogs have that, the monkeys, the pigs, everyone gets that kind of birth, you see. That is automatic. But to get the second birth, dvija, there's no, I don't know, I've never heard the word trija used. Has anyone heard the word trija for the third birth? We hear dvija, that is all, we hear that word again and again, dvija. But I've never heard trija for the third birth. So that means the second birth, that is most important. The third birth is also important to worship the deities, but the second birth, when you're actually initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, that's the most important. That's most important. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra, it is much more important than Gayatri mantra. Although Gayatri mantra is added for that facility to worship deities, because actually that helps the chanting become more successful. That's why we worship deities. In this age, the Dharma is Hare Krishna chanting. Harinam, Harinama. You see. Haranama, 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 Yuva Kevalam, Kalona Steva, Nasteva, Gatiran Yata. In this yuga, it is chanting Hare Krishna. In the previous yuga, deity worship was the method of spiritual liberation. But we accepted deity worship in this age to enhance the chanting, to empower the chanting. So it is important. It is even described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The spiritual master, he does this. You see, this is one of the symptoms of how you can recognize a bona fide spiritual master. He is engaged in the worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and he also engages his disciples in such worship. So this is a very important aspect, the deity worship. But it is all for supporting the chanting. You see, chanting is the real essence of our process of Krishna consciousness. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada mentions if one is initiated by a proper person, he can be accepted as twice born immediately. What does this statement imply? it implies that one can also be initiated by an improper person. And such a person would then not be accepted as twice born, you see. Just like before, I was fortunate to be initiated by Srila Prabhupada. I was initiated by another Indian yogi. And I even had to pay for it. What, the equivalent of 1 month's rent I had to pay for my initiation. It was a, you know, like going to the store and buying something. See, the actual spiritual master, he doesn't charge money for initiation. You want to be my disciple? Okay, come with your checkbook. You know, sign, you know, $1,000. You know, or you come with your credit card, swipe your credit card now, diksha. You see, not like that. Of course, the disciple does give dakshina. But it's not that there's a price tag on initiation. Even if he says, well, Guru Maharaj, I went for collecting dakshina after my initiation and nobody gave anything, will his initiation be nullified? No. So the actual spiritual master, he doesn't charge any money for initiation. That is one symptom. Actually, it is stated in the Puranas, it is very easy to find a guru who will take away your money. But it's very difficult to find a guru who will take away your anxiety. You see? So this is one of the symptoms of finding that proper person. By taking shelter of this person, who himself is completely free of all anxiety, you see. That's another symptom. The spiritual master is always absorbed in ecstatic Krishna consciousness. So, by taking shelter of the proper person who is always absorbed in ecstatic Krishna consciousness, then what is the result? That disease that the spiritual master has, ecstatic Krishna consciousness, you catch the disease. Is it? Krishna consciousness is a contagious disease. So, you have to find out that person who is infected, thoroughly infected with that contagious disease, and then from him, by initiation, you also become infected with that disease. Of course, that is the most wonderful disease, Krishna consciousness. So it doesn't matter what the background may be. Even dog eater, that is considered a very, very low position. And very, very low position. Just like somebody, they went to a Chinese restaurant somewhere in the Orient. And they had their dog. And in the their experience was that restaurants in the Western world, you could, you know, leave your dog with the doorman and the doorman would watch the dog. I think you guessed already what happened, the way you were smiling. But anyway, the they came in the door, there was a different language, so they had put the dog there and they just pointed to the dog, you know, to the doorman, you know, keep an eye on the dog. So they waited a while, they went into the restaurant, they sat down, it took quite a while for their dinner to come. It finally arrived, and they had their dinner. And they went back to the door, and the dog wasn't there. And they said, what happened? They said, well, you pointed the dog, and we cooked him for you. So actually, they ate their dog, you see. So this is there is that dog-eating culture in the Orient. You know, you go to the marketplace, they have dogs for sale that you take home and you slaughter and eat them. So, in the Western countries, we would find that horrible. Oh, the dog, he's our best friend. You see? How you could kill and eat the dog? And then they think, well, what's wrong with those Hindus anyway? You know, how could they think the cow is sacred? It shows the Western people are not very intelligent because they're taking the dog as sacred. If you can take the dog as sacred, why we can't take the cow as sacred? You see? They laugh at the devotees for taking the cow as sacred, but they are taking the dog as sacred. So if you can take dog, we can take cow. By comparative analysis, which is better, dog or cow? You see? The dog, he passes stool, you can catch diphtheria, you know, from his stool. He barks, he bites. What does the cow do? The cow simply takes the grass, which you cannot eat. Can you eat grass? You cannot digest grass in your belly. You see? So the cow, it takes the grass which you cannot eat. And you have to bring your lawnmower to cut it anyway. You see? The cow will mow your grass without charging you anything. She will trim your lawn for you without charging you anything, yard maintenance fee. And she will turn your grass into the finest substance, the finest food substance for nourishing the body and the brain, milk. So by comparative, and even her stool has antiseptic properties. In India, we see, we have all, those of us who have gone to India, we see everywhere, they take the cow dung and they smash it up against the wall, let the sun dry it, and they use it for cooking fuel. Why cut down the trees? You see, people, the environmentalists are so worried now about cutting down all the forests. Why not? You see, why cut down the trees when you can use cow dung for cooking, for heating, you see? So by comparative analysis, we can see cow is actually, if dog is best friend, then cow is even better than the best friend. You see? So they cannot criticize us for protecting cow. They cannot criticize. It simply, if they criticize, it simply says they're less intelligent. They don't really understand things from a very clear perspective of intelligent analysis. This Krishna consciousness is not some cult. This is not a religious cult that one is induced through some mesmerization to accept some crazy, illogical, unscientific, dogmatic belief. That is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is actually the highest philosophical perfection. Raja Vidya. This is confirmed by Sri Krishna himself. He said it is Raja Vidya. It is the perfection of scientific advancement, you see. Actual science. Not this so-called Western speculative science. But this is the perfection of actual science. To know things as they are, clearly. These scientists are such, well, less than actual scientists, to be polite. I one time attended one scientific gathering in the U.S., in Florida. And the learned scientists came in to tell us how there were black holes in outer space. And it was a big evening program. All the students from all the science classes and all the professors from all the science departments, everyone came. There were thousands and thousands of people there to hear the learned scientist explaining about the black holes in outer space. So I asked the esteemed gentleman, was this a theory or was it a fact? And he told me that actually, I think it's a fact. Note the word, I think. So anyway, a few more questions came in, and then someone else asked, actually I asked. Yeah. I said this, we have seen throughout the history of modern science, that one theory comes into popularity for some time, and then is replaced by another theory. So how do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? And he said, I hope it is, because then we will be making progress. Just see the rascal. He said it's fact. And then he says, well, actually it's not a fact. I said it was a fact, but actually it's not really a fact. And when it's shown that it's not true, then that is the progress of science, you see. So in this way, they call it science. Whoever can get away with razzle-dazzling the minds of the scientific community and the general public with the most finesse, that person, that is considered the leading scientist, you see. Whoever is best at befooling everyone, you see, basically. Whoever is the best word juggler wins. And he's the leading scientist of the day because he juggles words better than anyone else, you see. But then another word juggler comes along and he out-juggles the previous juggler. So actually, I think we should not call them scientists anymore. We should call them jugglers, word jugglers, PhD, word juggler. So the actual knowledge, you see, Raja Vidya, the actual knowledge is to know things as they are, not that they have the version has to be revived every 5 years when the scientific textbooks are rewritten. The actual scientific textbooks are never rewritten. You see, they are perfect from the very beginning. Just like in the Vishnu Purana, it is clearly stated, Jalaja Navalakshani Stavara Lakshavingshati Krimayo Rudra Sankhyaka Pakshinam Daksha Lakshanam Tringsha Lakshani Pashavaha Chatur Lakshani Manashaha. It is clearly described there are 8,400,000 different species. Precise number is given. You see, this is science. This is actual science. To know things precisely as they are, that is science. So how fortunate we are that Narad Muni is giving us actual scientific knowledge, you see. He is the true scientist, Narad Muni, true scientist. He is giving us clear understanding that your first birth is practically useless, you see. Even if you're born in a wealthy family with aristocratic surroundings, you know, a beautiful body, tons of money, this doesn't matter. Any position, low or high in this material world, abhrama bhuvana loka pun, even if you're born as Brahmaji, you see, this first birth has no value. You have to be born again, dvija. You have to become initiated. Prabhupada emphasizes this in the Nectar Devotion. He says, without initiation, Krishna doesn't accept your service. It's an important thing. Sometimes people think, well, you know, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, following the principles, so I'm okay. But that's not a fact. Your devotional service is not complete until you get that second birth. What does Rupa Goswami say? Adhau Gurashvayam. The very first step on the pathway back to home, back to God, is to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. First step. It's such an essential thing. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he even makes it even more emphatic. He says there's no question of being promoted to the transcendental plane of Krishna consciousness unless you satisfy the bona fide spiritual master. Yasha prasada, Bhagavat prasada, in this way he explained. So we have to really, you know, be born again. We really do. We have to be initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise our position is Whereabouts unknown. We're not connected until we undergo the initiation process. That's an important thing. Of course, that initiation process, we've seen that Prabhupada, our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he was initiated, practically he said, he initiated me, just by hearing one time from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, even though the ceremony didn't happen for 11 years. 11 years later, the initiation ceremony took place, but he said, Prabhupada said, practically he initiated me, just by hearing Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he became convinced, this is my spiritual master. You see? Just by hearing him one time, he actually felt that connection, that now this is my guru. That's it. So the actual guru-disciple relationship is not simply a ceremony. A ceremony marks the relationship. The actual relationship between the guru and the disciple is one of obedience. That one hears the spiritual master submissively, and then one submissively serves the spiritual master. He follows the instructions of the spiritual master. As Srila Prabhupada points out, and as he showed by his own example, the spiritual master, the disciple, he meditates on the instructions he's received from the spiritual master. Prabhupada goes even further. He says he worships the instructions he received from the spiritual master. And he always thinks, how can I successfully execute these instructions? So it's not like in Christianity, you know, oh, I accepted Jesus, so I'm saved. Oh, I got my diksha, I'm saved. No. The actual meaning of diksha, of initiation, is that one becomes fully obedient to the spiritual master. He worships every instruction he has received from his spiritual master. So that is actual initiation, you see. When one is fully obedient to the instructions he has received from the spiritual master. So in this way, we're getting some very good information here. This morning's verse in purport. What is the actual foundation of our advancing along the pathway back to home, back to Godhead? And now I can inquire if any of you have any questions. I'd be happy to try to answer them. Don't ask all at once. All right.
Okay, as far as I understood, he would like to ask, when he's reading the scriptures of Srila Prabhupada, if...
Jetzt von aus der Bibel von Jesus Christus und vom Swami Prabhupada, die Schriften lest, dann, und das so annehmen, ist das, was auch er meint... Das schon meist angenommen hat, wenn ich das annehme, was er jetzt sagt, weil ich kenne ihn ja nicht persönlich.
When he's accepting the scriptures of Srila Prabhupada and he's reading it, if it's already meaning that he is taking Srila Prabhupada as guru.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that is called Siksha Guru. Narada Muni also is our Siksha Guru. He is giving instruction here to the Pachetas, but it is also to us. So that is called Siksha Guru. The one who is giving you instructions, we accept them as our gurus. But it is also, if one is saying, okay, I am accepting Prabhupada as my Siksha Guru, that is very good. We're very, very happy that you're feeling that way. Thank you very much. That's a very, very important thing you're doing. So now within those instructions, of Srila, if I'm actually accepting Prabhupada as my Siksha Guru, that means whatever instruction he has given me, that I will carry on, you see.
So
So Prabhupada...
I didn't get the last part. When you accept Srila Prabhupada? Then...
Yes, when you accept Prabhupada as Siksha Guru, that means that whatever instruction he is giving, that you will carry out faithfully. So Prabhupada is instructed. When he was here physically on this planet, he personally gave diksha to all of those who wanted to be followers of this movement. But then he instructed in the... he taught us that after the departure of the spiritual master, that the disciples of the spiritual master, then they become the next diksha gurus in the line. So that anyone who is coming now to become follower of this movement, they should become the disciples of the disciples. So that is the system. The guru who has departed, he gives, his siksha is there. Of course, Prabhupada is not departed. He is fully with us, but in the physical sense, he is departed. By the guru who is physically departed, he no longer gives diksha. Diksha is given by a guru who is physically on this plane. You see, that diksha then is given by the disciples of that guru after the guru has departed. You see. So one thing, Prabhupada is my guru, I want to surrender to him, give my life to him. Very good. Thank you very much. We want more people like you in this world. The world will become a happy place if there's more people like you on this planet. You see? So then to actually follow Prabhupada means now I must seek out one of his disciples to become a disciple of that disciple of Prabhupada. So who will you choose? Since you want to be Prabhupada's, the best possible follower of Srila Prabhupada, that means you should find out which follower of Srila Prabhupada will best help you to become the best possible follower of Srila Prabhupada. And then you take shelter of that guru, and he will help you to become to understand and to follow Srila Prabhupada in the best possible way. So you simply seek out which follower of Srila Prabhupada will best facilitate me to become the best possible follower of Prabhupada that I can be. And that person you should take initiation from. Does that make sense?
No.
Yeah, that's how it works. It's called disciplic succession. If we could simply take some written word and take that person as our initiating guru, there would be no need for disciplic succession. We could all just be disciples of Krishna. But because the knowledge actually comes in disciplic succession, as confirmed by Krishna himself, evam parampara paptam mimam rajarshayo vidum. Because the knowledge comes down in the line. There is guru, there is disciple, and then that disciple becomes guru, and he has disciples, and they become gurus, and this way it keeps coming down, down, down through Vaishnava history. Prabhupada clearly points out in his Bhagavatam purport, the one who is now the disciple, he becomes the next spiritual master. Any other questions? Yeah.
So for Srila Prabhupada, it sounds it was very easy to find his guru because he just heard one word and then he knew it's his guru. But for us, there are so many
stores in ISKCON. ISKCON used to be like a shop. You go to the shop and you purchase your goods and you go home. But now ISKCON is like a huge shopping mall. You have the Jayapataka shop, the Sachinandana Swami shop, Sankarshan Das Adhikari shop, so many shops up and down the mall. Where it's a huge mall now, it keeps growing bigger and bigger. And what to do? Actually, the answer is quite simple. And Krishna explains, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pati purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding on how to come to me. So, if you are simply very, very devoted to Lord Krishna, I want to be your devotee, then from within the heart, Krishna will tell you, this is the one. This is the one you should take your initiation from. Krishna will make it very clear. And from another angle of vision, Prabhupada has always taught us that one should accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject whatever is unfavorable. So you should simply see, where do I get the most inspiration to become Krishna conscious? Who inspires me the most to advance in Krishna consciousness? That's my guru, you see. It's very simple, actually. It's not confusing. We may think it's confusing, but actually it's not. If one is sincere to advance in Krishna consciousness, it's not difficult at all. It's very easy to, because Krishna is right there and he'll help you. He'll say, this is the one. Now you've found him. Or now he's found you. You see, here you are, this is the one. Now surrender. Any other questions? So everyone is satisfied now. Everyone is, no one is feeling any obstacles that need to be cleared on the path. Everything is just clear sailing now, back to home, back to Godhead. No one is feeling that there's some obstacles that need to be overcome. Yeah.
You spoke about the process of initiation and the importance of having a link to a bona fide spiritual master.
Yes.
And my question is, or rather concern, is that over the years I saw that initiation or the importance that devotees or the community of Vaishnavas put in initiation was mainly in the formal initiation ceremony. But to my understanding, initiation is an ongoing process. And
so you notice there's a tendency that it's more just like a ceremony and there's not much beyond that? Is that what you're saying? In our society, is that what you're saying?
Oftentimes I observe that, yes. And
more like the goal, I think. Initiation is like the goal, and that's after this stops.
No, not really. I personally made the experience when I received this formal initiation that I was, from one moment to the other, I was treated completely different. And I see it oftentimes, those who are not initiated, so to say, they are like in a different category.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite low, I would say. And as soon as you get this formal initiation, then you
Prabhupada compares it to a street dog or a dog with a master. In India, it's a huge difference. Prabhupada makes that comparison. Sanata and anatta. So it is quite a difference. When one actually accepts the principle of guru and finds a person that he takes shelter of, it makes a very big difference. One receives an empowerment in one's chanting. In all the aspects of one's sadhana, there's a definite empowerment that comes. No doubt about it. And the initiation is the actual the actual meaning of initiation, or the process of being twice born, is that the initiation is there, and then it just it doesn't end there. That's when it just starts, and then that relationship with the spiritual master becomes, it just becomes, you could say, deeper, richer, sweeter, more loving, more realization. It's just a thing that continues to grow and expand unlimitedly. The disciple who's actually taken the initiation vow in the according to the standard instructions, they actually become, you know, that connects them with the spiritual master and all the previous acharyas, because he is the gateway to all the acharyas. You see, that relationship then continues to mature. That's a very good word. It continues to mature more and more and more over time. And Prabhupada explained, he says, I always feel that my Guru Maharaj is with me, he is seeing me, he is blessing me, he is guiding me. So that is one symptom of a spiritual man, of a disciple, I mean to say, who's properly situated. He actually feels how the spiritual master is present with him, how he is seeing me, how he is blessing me, how he is guiding me at every step. You see, that's one symptom. So that's the actual meaning of becoming a disciple. That now you always feel how Guru Maharaj is with you, blessing you, seeing you, encouraging you, helping you at every step. You're not alone anymore. Now you have someone with you at every step, blessing you and helping you. Through every obstacle, Guru Maharaj is there helping you. You see? That's a real Guru disciple relationship. Do you have any further concerns in this regard? Have I answered what you... Did I satisfy? Are you looking for something more? Understanding? Or? I'm hard of hearing. So.
I think I'm okay for now.
Yeah. So anyone else have any concerns or questions?
You said that... If one prays within the heart, that Krishna directs one to proper guru. And I know some devotees who were, you know, directed to gurus who were not so proper, so to say, and their desire was also pure, in a sense. Why it happens?
So the question is, if some devotee was who was sincerely trying to take up Krishna consciousness, they were inspired, they felt inspired to a certain spiritual master who was not so proper, is that what you're saying? Yeah. To have, of course, is not new to ISKCON. It is also there in the Vaishnava history. There are such spiritual masters who seem to have been bona fide, but turned out to be not so bona fide. That's there in the Bhagavatam also. Shukracharya was there, you see. There is such a thing. The one who was, you know, thought he was being properly guided, turned out he wasn't being properly guided. Such a person, it's interesting to note here that Bali Maharaj became, what was the turning point that elevated him to becoming one of the 12 Mahajans, one of the 12 greatest devotees in all of history? What was the turning point? When he rejected his guru. You see? So the real point is, if someone is really in that mood, Tesham Satati Yuktanam Prajitam Prati Purvakam, then Krishna will continue to guide them at every step. So somehow or other, they took shelter of a person who was not really qualified and couldn't really carry through on the guru-disciple commitment. That person is protected by their sincere desire to be Krishna conscious. And Krishna will then bring them in contact with someone else who can properly inspire them and bless them and encourage them on the pathway. the question is, if they were so sincere, then why did they get hooked up with that person in the first place? That's the question, the real question. Why did Krishna sanction that to even happen to begin with? You see, those are the real questions here. I'm just trying to look at the vast expanse of Vedic history and see what answers might be there for that question. One could say, well, maybe they weren't. There's different arguments that one could bring. Well, maybe they weren't really 100% sincere. Maybe they really wanted to be cheated. Someone could argue like that. But that may not really be a fair argument also. I mean, just even, this was, of course, it's a slightly different, but, you know, I was sincerely looking for spiritual enlightenment, and I went to a cheater and got a bogus mantra, and I had to pay the equivalent of 1 month's rent. Does that mean I just wasn't, in my case, in that situation, you could say that I really wasn't ready for the full thing yet. But what about in the case of somebody's in ISKCON and they're really ready for the full thing, they end up with somebody who couldn't fulfill their obligation as a spiritual master properly. It's a very difficult question to answer. But it's a very important question. Why did Krishna allow that to happen? Was it they weren't really ready for a spiritual master who could maintain his commitment? What was the purpose of that happening? Anybody else have any realizations? It's a very difficult question to answer. Yeah. Tell me.
It's just that Krishna knows our desires, subtle desires that we have, better than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And He brings us accordingly.
Yes.
I would also say like this, because we cannot see if one is really serious. And also, exactly. I would say in my case, I thought I was really serious. But now I would say, no, I was not 100% serious. I was lucky to find the, I think it was the right guru, but in my vision now, I would say...
Your experience was that you accepted an unqualified person because you were not fully qualified? What is it?
I found a very qualified spiritual master, but I think 5 years ago, I really thought I'm very, very serious, and I only want Krishna. But now, when I look back, I would say, no, it was not 100% serious. And I could also have found someone else, because there was something missing. And so it's very difficult to say, I'm 100% serious, so somehow it doesn't work. Or this person I see is very serious, and he found a wrong
group. Yeah, we can think we're 100% serious, but then... Your point is nice that I'm completely serious. But then after some time, by becoming more and more purified, we realized how unserious we actually were and how we actually had so many different types of motives that we didn't even recognize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes also we accepted a spiritual master because everybody is going, so I go there too.
Herd mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if your question's been fully answered, but Krishna does say, inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So this gives weight to what Vishnu Priya Maharaj said. You would hate to say that about somebody who seemed to be very sincere, but they ended up being misguided. But it is a fact that Krishna says, inasmuch as they surrender, I reward them accordingly. Any other question? All right. We will stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.